All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is July 10th, and we are once again broadcasting another podcast from the apartment of Joe Edwards.
And Katie O'Neill.
I myself am Jeff Spross, and this is...
This is Joe Edwards, and what are we talking about today, Jeff?
Today we are talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is a policy that is much in the news recently.
It has been the news recently. It was, of course, enacted in 1993. It became law. And kind of like so many laws, just certain current events bring it back to the forefront of conversation, discussion.
And those events have been?
Those events have been. Most notably, a gentleman named Dan Choi was discharged from the Army. His position in the Army was an Arab linguist. And he was quoted on saying on his discharge, "I want to serve, I don't want to be fired, but I shouldn't have to live a lie, and it hurts the mission when the government makes me live a lie."
This discharge of Dan Choi, along with the other discharges and the promises made by Obama during his campaign, the gay rights movement itself is becoming,
I would say, hostile.
Hostile to the Obama administration. Just everybody's asking why there is not faster movement on this issue.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And with that introduction, I think we need to take a step back for a moment and ask how the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy actually came to be.
Basically, it started in 1993. Governor Bill Clinton had just become, like, literally a couple months into his administration, President Clinton. And Bill Clinton had promised many times he will allow gays to serve openly in the military. When he first became president, it seemed clear that he was going to try to make that policy. He hit a lot of speed bumps. This is from a Washington Post poll in 1993. About 40 to 44% of the country was in favor of having gays openly serve in the military. It was also noted it would not seem like a high priority of things for the president to do. So while the president was about to enact that, President Clinton, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee was a Democrat, a very conservative Democrat by the name of Sam Nunn. He has since retired. And he began to have committee hearings about this particular issue. The results of those hearings, particularly the testimony, kind of swayed the public opinion of, oh, gays in the military, oh, that will be a disruption to unit cohesion. And that phrase gets tossed around a lot, the disruption of unit cohesion. And out of those committees came the compromise policy of don't ask, don't tell, which means, yes, you can serve if you're gay, just don't act on it, don't tell anybody. For the terms of military code of conduct, do not do any homosexual act.
The fact that don't ask, don't tell was the compromise position that the Clinton administration had to fall back to was quite an embarrassment
to
them.
And yes, and perhaps you could say lack of political conviction. You could say that they were going against members of Bill Clinton's own party, Sam Nunn, the military, and of course it was widely known that Bill Clinton, unlike his last two predecessors, did not have military experience.
So they may have felt this was simply an envelope they couldn't push when the chips were down.
So during these committees, they of course brought in the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the youngest member of the Joint Chiefs was a guy named Colin Powell, General Colin Powell, who I'm sure...
We have since heard a great deal from since the 90s.
He needs no introduction. He was asked point blank by Chairman Sam Nunn, does having openly gays in the military disrupt unit cohesion? And Colin Powell said, yes. No
him or hawing, no tap dancing.
He said, yes.
He is one of the few public figures in politics whose popularity, certainly at the time, crossed the partisan divide.
Absolutely.
Because of his status, the Republicans were able to latch on to that.
And in the primary debates of 2008, which God knows how many there were, I think probably about 50 to 60, every time in the Republican debate that this was brought up, every Republican candidate punted, in so many words, to Colin Powell. Well, my position on Don't Ask, Don't Tell is the Colin Powell position. And he was for it. He drafted it. He's our guy. That's why I don't think we should mess with it. And they were all asked in a CNN debate in June of 2007, who's in favor of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. No one raised their hands. They weren't for it. On the Dem debates, as you can imagine, it's quite the opposite. Hillary Clinton's been asked point blank about it. And she said, which I think is kind of logical, like, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was the first step. It's time. It's 16 years have gone by. It's time for the next step.
And And that will bring us up to the present. And as of the present date, Joe, current polling of approval or disapproval for gays serving openly in the military rests where?
It rests a lot different than it has. It is one of those areas that has just very, not dramatically, but has very steadily just improved over the years. As I mentioned, 1993, according to Washington Post, about 40 to 44% of the country was for having gays serve openly in the military. 2001, it's 62%. Washington Post says currently, as far as of July of 08, they did a poll, 75%. CNN did a poll in December of this past year, 81%, which is just pretty dramatic stuff.
I mean, the approval seems to be almost universal at this point.
75 to 80% is just about as high as you will get for any type of thing. Clearly, the public is at a certain level, and clearly, our national leadership is not.
Well,
and
that, I think that
they're being very cautious about this.
That was what I was going to ask. I mean, the general wisdom, as I understand it, is that if even looking at an issue from a pure standpoint of political survival, whether or not a politician wants to do something and they're concerned for whether or not they'll lose too many votes to stay in office, 2/3 approval of doing something generally means you're safe.
Generally. Yeah.
And yet, in this particular instance, the Obama administration has not yet moved. So, what is going on there?
As far as Dems go, and I don't want to like just simplify a whole group of elected officials. We could say the Democrats are like, I don't want to be seen as anti-military or weak on military.
I mean, after 8 years of the Bush administration, during which weakness on military issues pounded the Democrats again and again.
Very much so. They're always, since Jimmy Carter, they've always been worried about that.
I don't know if we had a poll, but we did have a mention in one article that approval of gays serving openly in the military within the military itself rests at about 30%.
It's between 30 and 40 on different military times, which is a periodical that the military reads a lot.
Again, analyzing the Obama administration's behavior, given that they are currently upping the conflict in Afghanistan, mm-hmm. while at the same time drawing down the conflict in Iraq, both of which have proved to be controversial in their own rights. Is the Obama administration afraid of antagonizing the military, even if repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell has overwhelming support with the general populace? I mean, is the military as an institution just something specific that they don't want to tangle with?
That's one little hurdle. I think that could be like the one last hurdle. Everyone's like, I don't want to be seen as anti-military. I don't want to see as against the wishes of the military. But the fact of the matter is, the military doesn't tell Congress what to do. They're like, please tell us what you want us to do. We'll tell you how to get there.
Right. The military is a servant of the people and thus of the government.
All right. But one of the compliments Obama consistently gets, President Obama, is just this long-term strategy. And this could be an issue that he's like, look, I don't want to do this right now and stir up the pot. I'm going to move this forward on a slow ball and then it will pay off huge. Trust me. Or he could be just kicking the can and doesn't want to deal with it. And it is kind of a disservice to just say, why don't politicians do this? There are political processes. There are reactions that they have to anticipate. There's moves they have to go through. There's speeches they want to make.
You can only ask a politician to conscientiously ignore the continuance of their own job. You can only ask them to do that so many times.
And another theory about Obama's administration, there's a lot of Clinton alumni in that administration who are probably still sore from that first battle.
The early 90s battle over right. Don't, that resulted in Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Exactly. And in this column that Frank Rich wrote in June of this year, he said probably the biggest theory of why Obama hasn't put this to the front burner, as they say, is that he doesn't want to risk gay issues as President Clinton did. And he's kind of zigging where Clinton zagged. And it's always unfair to assume, like for us sitting where we're sitting, Jeff, to assume these are what these leaders and what these politicians are thinking. And second-guessing them. But that's part of the job, and that's part of our job as citizens who vote and pay taxes.
Absolutely.
Is to guess and assume and question. And that's part of the game.
Oh, Okay, and shifting gears once again, while our political culture focuses a great deal on the presidency, it is worth remembering it is only one of three co-equal branches of government. We do have a Congress in this mix, and there is a whole...
They still do stuff?
But no, there is a push gathering within the Congress on its own terms to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
And the point person on this push is a gentleman. He is a Democrat from Pennsylvania. His name is Patrick Murphy. He's a young guy. He's like 37 years old.
At least on paper, this guy seems almost like the perfect person.
So ideal, and I don't think that is a coincidence. He got elected to Congress in 2006.
Re-elected in 2008.
Re-elected in 2008. He is the first Iraq War veteran elected to Congress. And he was an ardent Obama supporter very early on.
He is known as a conservative Democrat when it comes to fiscal issues. He's a clean-cut looking guy.
Absolutely.
He likes his football metaphors. I mean, this is probably the most mainstream, non-threatening person you could imagine.
With the military background, it's a very, I'd say shrewd, but it's a brilliant, shrewd person.
Yes. He did an interview on Rachel Maddow just the other night where he seems, at least to me, he seems to take this personally.
Absolutely.
All political shit aside, he seems to care.
As she would as well. And the legislation that he wants to sponsor to repeal it has 152 sponsors. You would need at least 218 to pass.
This is in the House.
This is in the House, and then it would go to the Senate, and then it would go to the White House desk. When I mentioned earlier that he was an early Obama supporter, I don't think this is all by coincidence. I think Obama has been a joint, you are a front man, get this through Congress, I want to sign it. And I do think that is Obama's strategy. Is Obama wants to make this look like an across the aisle. It went through one branch, now it's going to mine. There have been some federal court cases about this, but the president and his administration have been kind of backed off from those. Gay marriage has somehow entered the court phase of
right.
How that might get advanced. He doesn't want that. He wants this to go to Congress, then he wants to sign it. That is his game plan.
He wants the appearance of legitimacy, of majoritarian democratic legitimacy that always comes with moving something through the legislative process as opposed to moving it through the courts.
Exactly. Now, is that the right step? And will that work? Because we all know getting stuff through Congress outside of a war bill sometimes takes a while. And is this issue that urgent for the president to take a different path? And that's what I think a lot of gay rights activists are questioning right now, like, why don't you speak? Why is this junior congressman doing this? Why aren't you doing this? There is a professor at the University of California in Santa Barbara. His name is Aaron Belkin, and he runs a think tank about gay rights and the military. He's definitely the point person in the academic side of it. If you ever want to talk about gay rights, every documentary about gays in the military, chances are he's one of the talking heads in it. And his website for his think tank is www.palmcenter.org. It's in Santa Barbara. And what he has often argued is he points to the example of Harry Truman in 1948 signed an executive order ordering the military to accept black soldiers into the military. This is after World War II. And what Professor Belkin argues is that Obama could do the same thing. He should sign an executive order suspending Don't Ask, Don't Tell until a law can be brought to his desk for him to officially repeal it.
Okay, well, that does raise the question. I mean, would a suspension by executive order of Don't Ask, Don't Tell be legal from a constitutional perspective?
According to this professor, that the stop-loss law in 1983, which you hear stop-loss used a lot lately in different contexts about soldiers doing recurring trips to Iraq, it's kind of the same logic. According to the stop-loss law in 1983, that the president has discretion over any law dealing with military retirement, especially in times of, what's that phrase, national security. The point of this podcast was not to do a point-counterpoint, but I agree with this professor, and that's what I think the president should do. She should sign an executive order to suspend it. I can understand the logic of let it go through the process. Yes, it might take longer, but it would have more impact. And I disagree. I think more impact is showing strong leadership in signing something and letting these people serve in the military.
The congressman we mentioned, Patrick Murphy, again during his interview with Rachel Maddow, actually made an argument for why he felt the buck should stop with Congress and Obama should be doing what he's doing, which is namely nothing at the moment. Basically, his argument was that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a law put in place by the Congress, and so it is Congress's responsibility to get rid of it since Congress right. enacted it in the mm-hmm. first place. But also, we just went through a period of 8 years where the president we had, George W. Bush, quite often treated the Congress with contempt. I mean, he used his signing statements as a way to essentially shunt aside portions of laws he didn't like. I mean, it was an indication of the degree to which the Bush administration was pushing for concentrated executive power. I mean, this is one of the great complaints with the Bush administration was that it was upsetting the balance of three co-equal branches, that it was attempting to raise the executive branch above the other two.
I watched that same segment and I understood where he was coming from, but I honestly do think that is just a reaction to the president not doing anything. I mean, there's been lots of interview footage on the news of him on the campaign trail saying, yes, I will repeal this. Yes, I think this is wrong. This is a campaign promise. And frankly, I think it's a natural, logical thing to do this immediately, not just because literally every other Western country in the world outside of Greece has openly gays serving in the military. It's embarrassing that we don't. I understand that point, but that's more of an image point. And I think this is a human rights issue. He should do this as quickly as possible.
The question that I would ask in response to Murphy's point was that I do agree that if this were a question of law, of general law raised by the Congress and signing statements, and Obama was attempting to say, you know what, I don't care what the law is, I'm doing my own thing, I think that would be problematic. I am very concerned about the idea of the executive branch simply going its own way. I think that is poisonous to the structure of the country. I guess with signing an executive order to suspend Don't Ask, Don't Tell specifically seems to fall under a different constitutional category, and that it is particularly a role for the commander-in-chief. This is not a question of him ignoring laws about, say, marijuana use. This is a question of the function of the military, of which Obama, as president, is constitutionally in charge. Mm-hmm. So I that might be the one place where it seems, at least from my perspective, that Murphy's point might break down. Okay, and as we wrap up this particular podcast, just looking to the future, one of the most striking things about the polls, not just for Don't Ask, Don't Tell or gay marriage, is the question of gay rights across the board. Support for gay rights and gay equality with voters under 30 is
enormous.
Absolutely overwhelming. So this might be part of what the Obama administration is calculating as well, is that at this point, it is simply a matter of time. For the under 30 cohort, the cat is out of the bag, the toothpaste is out of the tube, whatever metaphor you'd like to. Do we have anything else?
I think that's about it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Jeff and I certainly enjoy doing this. I think next time we'll be doing a movie discussion. We're not sure what that's about yet.
But we will be bringing that to you quite soon. So this has been Jeff Spross.
And this has been Joe Edwards.
And once again, thank you for listening.